Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Bogoss and Tracy Black. And this is the First and Sold podcast, and we are continuing our coaches and community tour. Tracy, riding up Interstate 565, Highway 20, Highway 72, Highway 53. We have been all over North Alabama. I'm having a blast.
It's been great. And, you know, we're a couple of weeks removed from our fourth annual media days. We had 57 teams over a two-day period that came across the stage, and just an incredible event. And we're basically a couple of weeks away from the 2025 season, and this is very exciting.
I mean, we are just a couple of weeks away, and actually most schools across North Alabama have started this week or will start by the end of the week, just about all of North Alabama. And today we have made that trip up Highway 53, just north of Huntsville, to Sparkman High School. And we have the privilege today to sit in the office with head coach Ronnie Watson with the Sparkman Senators. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys being here.
Man, we are excited to be here, and I couldn't wait to get here today, because when you think of Sparkman, you think of tough, big, a lot of football. And being able to sit with someone like you, Coach. Coach, I've had the privilege to get to know you over the past few years and through other coaches, and your love for the game exudes from you and your personality. Question I have for you, if you could define the word football and what it means to Coach Ronnie Watson, what would that be?
Opportunity to change lives.
You didn't even have to think about that.
No, sir.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome. Coach, tell us a little bit about, you know, your journey that got you to where you are today. Who are some of the influences that made an impact on your life and got you to this head coach position here at Sparkman?
I mean, me, it goes back to high school. You know, I wanted to, you know, I had a coach named Tim Solly at Buckhorn High School, which actually was over our instructional stuff with the county office for my first couple of years of teaching. And you know, the way he led people, the way, you know, he helped people, and the way he just went on his day-to-day business, you know, growing up, he ended up being my son's kindergarten first grade principal at Central School. And you know, to see how he did things, and you know, it was a huge impact on me. Honestly, my dad, you know, just pushing and pushing and doing the things that he's done through my life. I take pretty much work ethic and everything from him. When you start looking at coaches, I mean, it goes from, I mean, I think when before I became head coach, I had 11 head coaches here with all the interims that was here or you know, came in, left, things like that. You know, Chris Cagle took me under his wing when he got here, and oh man, talk about a, I mean, he made a huge impact on me. Coach LaRon White, honestly, it completely changed my paradigm, the way I looked at football, and I looked at a kid, and you know, it's more than a player. Coach White, you know, taught me that you're making impact in all these kids' lives, and you always will. And you know, probably one of my proudest moments as a coach is as a kid that graduated and went in the military and come back, and the first thing he said was, "Coach." Hey, coach, and that made it. That was a huge impact to me. But I mean, there's so. I mean, honestly, so many guys that's impacted me. You know, I talk to people about coaches in this area a lot, and you know, and I always, you know, point my finger at Jeremy Perkins over at Austin. You know, great guy, great program, always had it. You know, has his standard, his way. So, you know, just for me, you know, being a younger, you know, young guy in coaching and looking back and looking at him and how he does things, that was impactful to me. So, you know, I have been blessed to, I mean, really blessed to be around some great coaches. I would say my coaching staff now, I mean, they make a big impact on me, and they have no idea they do. So, you know, my defensive coordinator, Dylan Livingston. You know, like I told them, guys, if y'all are the smartest guys in the room, you're in the wrong room. You know, I want you to question what I'm doing and stuff like that. And Spencer Smith, my offensive coordinator, the same way, because it's my job to start that tree to get those guys where they want to be. They have goals in coaching that they want to hit. But I've been so fortunate to have some great guys, some great mentors throughout my years.
To develop your own tree, I could only imagine what that would feel like. Well, you've probably already seen, I've already known several coaches who have left Sparkman and have gone on and to be promoted into their coaching careers. And that's got to be a cool feeling, Coach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the guys, you know, the first guy that I ever, you know, I started as a freshman coach, as a volunteer coach 16 years ago. And I'll never forget Jonathan Snyder, the head coach at Ogdmore. You know, he left here, went to Athens, had a great career. You know, he's over there. He's changing lives every day. But, you know, if I have a question about a coach, I'm calling him. It's just having those guys. But guys like that, that he probably has no idea that, you know, the little short, you know, little short coach coming in there that was his scribe that first year on Friday night, how much I learned just seeing how he does. And, you know, when I was a defensive coordinator and linebackers coach and stuff, it was almost a mirror image of what he did that first year that I was here.
Yeah.
And again, he probably has no clue. But things today, I mean, I take a little bit from everybody. I've learned ways not to do it, and I've learned even more ways to do it and do it in a positive way that impacts the most people.
Coach, I'm going to rewind a little bit. You just mentioned your father and what he taught you, instilling hard work and that things in that nature. Tell us about your dad.
Oh, man, my dad's my hero. So, you know, just watching him growing up, you know, getting up those early mornings, you know, putting up with us. You know, I had two sisters and, you know, just to this day, I mean, I'm 47 years old. I know he's the only man in this world that wants me to do as well as I want to do, and I can always turn to. And again, I'm blessed to still have him in my lives. We talk on a daily basis. You know, every Friday he can be here, he's going to be here. I can call him and go, he's like, "Hey, what are you doing?" I was like, "Well, I'm up at the field house doing this and this." And 30 minutes later, he shows up. "Let's do it. You'll get it faster. That way you can go home and spend time with your family." He instilled the family in me and how important that is. And, I mean, my work ethic, I never seen him not working growing up. And, you know, people's always ask, "Why do you go, 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 go?" I said, "Well, one day somebody's going to have to get up at a pulpit and give a eulogy for me. I just want to make sure they can't say that I was lazy." And I get that from my dad. I get the empathy for people and my players and my coaches and from my dad. And, you know, I couldn't imagine doing this without him. You know, you get those things on social media. Would you still, you know, if you had a chance, would mom still be the same mom and dad be the, "Oh my gosh, I couldn't imagine doing it without him." And again, he don't know that. Yeah. I probably don't say it enough and things like that. But, I mean, just awesome. You know, he's retired and, you know, get to spend a little bit more time with him and stuff like that. Would love to spend more. And that's just making the, you know, making time and the opportunity, it's there. So, but I love going out there, seeing all his old cars. He loves, you know, rebuilding cars and, you know, things like that. And just to see him proud of all the things that he, you know, he's doing now. And, you know, it's great for him to see, you know, I have four grandkids now. And for him to see them and just be around them is, you know, it's just like him having his grandkids again. So, yeah, I mean, my dad's changed my life. He's probably been the biggest impact on my life. And, you know, other than Jesus Christ himself, I mean, that right now, I mean, that's the guy that's made the biggest, you know, impact and put their stamp on me and my life would be Dad.
Oh, cool.
You know, you said earlier, you know, the opportunity to change lives. And you say that over and over, and I can see the passion on display in this office. Tell us a little bit about when you talk about changing lives and the opportunity that you have to make a difference. I believe the linebacker from Sparkman was our 7A player of the year last year, right?
Battles.
And man, when Battles was on that stage last year, when y'all were doing your interview, and he talked about what he came from. I went up to him after the event, and I said, look, man, I hope you get everything that you deserve in life, because that kid made an impact on me just listening to him talk. Tell us a little bit about, how's his offseason been? I think he was a junior. Is he coming back? Tell us a little bit about his offseason and what it feels like to make that difference in people's lives.
Blake, I mean, you can't get a better guy. And I mean, like I said, you know, at the awards ceremony, you know, he did that in 8 games. He did all those all that stuff. I mean, he went into the season thinking he was going to be a JV linebacker. And honestly, that's where he was. When you look at my board, that's where he would have been. And then, you know, just opportunity came. And talk about grabbing the bull by the horns and just, you know, doing it. I mean, he was a sponge. And the defensive coordinator or his position coach, Coach Bowden, would, you know, if they're in a meeting, they're in film, he took it all in. I was a linebacker's coach forever. And that's the kind of kid right there. I mean, it is just the quarterback on the defense. He'd get them lined up. Just amazing. You know, earlier this summer we had a media deal, and it was to go take pictures and stuff like that. Somebody was actually coming here to take pictures for this one. And I called him and I'm like, hey man, you know, you're the guy. You're the guy on defense. Do you want to come up here? And, you know, it gave him the time, and he goes, Coach, I'm a football player. I'm not a take a picture kind of guy. And it blew me away. It blew me away because most teenagers, give me all the, give me every piece of attention you can give me. And he looked at me straight in my eye, and it's like, I'm just not that guy. And I respect that. And I've probably gained a little bit more respect when he did that because, you know, it became a bigger thing for him. And, I think he's one of those guys. He's going to be great in anything he does. Comes from a great family, outstanding family. Already has goals and things he wants to do in life. And, I mean, he's pinpointed on them. And we're trying to do everything in our power to get him to a school that, you know, has the major he wants, because that's more important than football. Getting him in what he wants to do. And so he has the opportunity. He's going to have the opportunity regardless, but he would love to be able to go to the next level and play football just like everybody. But, you know, it's getting him in, you know, getting him in front of his film in front of the right people, and things are going to go in place. But, I mean, he's one of those guys that's, you know, you go in the hallway. I was in the hallway yesterday, and you know, couple of guys, you know, were cutting up a little too loud, and they just saw him. He didn't know I just saw him and quieted down. So, you know, it's to have that, you know, just to have that aura about you. I mean, that dude come out a leader. Yeah. He come out a leader. I mean, I always tell people, it's hard to teach somebody to be a leader. Yeah. You got to be born that way. And he is. Very, very impressive young man. Just, you know, hope he takes, you know, every opportunity he's got this year and goes with it.
I will say one thing about that. That Blake Battles personifies what we at First and Sold want to do for the community. He is a wonderful example of a player of the year.
Yeah, hometown teams, hometown dreams. And I mean, and that guy at the banquet, first of all, Blake, if you're listening, best dressed. Best dressed.
No doubt.
That dude was, he could have been on GQ magazine. He looked good last year at that event, son. But I want the listeners to know that the way that Coach just talked about Blake, every week when I would call Coach Watson about different players, about stats and stuff, he would get excited, just like you could hear it in his voice then, and talk about, oh, so-and-so did this. Oh, so-and-so. And let me tell you about what kind of kid he is off the field, Bo. I mean, he was just – that's the what's awesome about you, Coach. So, Mr. Watson, if you're listening, I would like to say thank you for the impact that you have made in Coach, because the way that you exude this to us and to the public and to the – your own players, I'm going to tell you thank you for that. And that's exactly right, Tracy. That's what we at First and Sold are trying to do, not only to give Coach the experience with media days and the banquets and the stuff like that, but to pass it on to the players and to the community.
That's what it's all about, 100%. And just like you said, just I that speech that he gave and what he said he had been through and come from, I mean, it'll stay with me forever. But again, that goes back to making a difference and having that opportunity. And like Coach said, having that opportunity to make an impact and make a difference in players' lives so that down the road, and my son's in the military, when you said it about the guy who came out of the military and said, Coach, I mean, no greater feeling.
That's what, when you said that, I want to ask you this. You know, a lot of people say Mr. or Doctor, they have a title. The title, Coach. You know, I've been a coach for Little League Baseball and stuff like that, and you're right. I just got a text this weekend from a former player whose mom sent me, and it said, hey, Coach, you'd be so proud. He just tried out for fall ball. He played so well, and we were talking about you in the car ride home. Man, I'm getting chill bumps. Tell me what that's like, having the title Coach.
I've had tons of titles in my life. Other than, you know, Daddy and Papaw,
yeah.
Coach is it.
Yeah.
Coach is it. And, I mean, you know, you see the little signs that people, you know, put up, you know, a coach, you know, in 1 year affects more people than some people will a whole life and things like that. And, you know, a lot of people don't know what goes into it. I mean, you know, they don't. I mean, you know, you get my first year as head coach, you know, getting that call that we lost a player. Probably the hardest thing I've ever done on this earth. And I've lost family, I've lost my mom, and things like that. But, and I know more coaches have to go through it and things like that. And every time I hear something or I read it on AL.com or see it on Twitter, that it always comes back. And you know, that feeling, I just couldn't, you know, imagine. But, you know, it's, coach means so much. And you don't know unless you do it. I mean, you don't. You know, so it's, When you talk about impactful, I mean, you talk about goosebumps. I've been a coach now just in this community for 16 years, and you still get goosebumps. You'll be at the store, you know, you out buying groceries, be at the park, and you get all these people, you know, coming up. You know, I had a young man, Tyshawn Gator, that played for us a few years ago, played linebacker, and, you know, probably wasn't the best kid in the world, and you know, he worked his tail off just like Blake. He worked his tail off, and, you know, he ends up going and playing at Lane College for 4 years. And, you know, he was going to come in and you know, he didn't know what he wanted to do with life. And every spring he'd come in and, you know, he'd help us with football and film and stuff like that. And, you know, I got a text message at the beginning of the summer. I'm like, hey, man, are you going to – you know, you graduated now. What are you going to do? You're going to go be a GA and all this. And he decided to go into the Navy.
Awesome.
And, you know, last week, again, goosebumps, tears. I mean, the first person he contacted when he graduated was me and Coach White, you know, that was the head coach when he was here. And it's like, Coach, I did it. And to think that you make any kind of impact for somebody – you know, because we didn't always get along. I mean, we wasn't, you know, we ended up best friends. But, you know, it goes to that. And it's, you know, that's huge. I mean, stuff like that's huge. But, you know, when you hear, you know, it's you hear it every day. And most probably take it for granted. But, man, when you've been around for a long time and you've been into a community, and no matter where you go, there's a player you've coached or you've taught. Because they're all calling you coach too. It's huge. It's huge. So, and people don't understand. You know, people say, well, you've changed a lot. Or you did. Man, people around me change me and change my life more than they'll ever know, or they'll ever get credit for. So, you know, I just wake up and try to be a blessing. So, I mean, that's what, when you say you got to wake up and have a goal, that's mine. So, how many people can you bless in a day?
Amen.
If you were, you've mentioned the word community a couple of times. You said you've been here 16 years, is that right,
Coach? This is my 16th year, yes, sir.
Okay. Let's talk about the community. What's the community mean to you?
to me, community is everything. I mean, when I became the head coach, one of the things that we implemented, because again, football is such a small part of your life. I tell the guys all the time, and they're getting it. The more they hear it, the more they get it. But, you know, football is going to be a very, very small part of your life. But you got to be a great person your whole life. You've got to be a great member of your community the whole life. So, you know, we started something that first year, and we built on it this year. You know, we've done almost 2,500 hours of community service from January to August. And honestly, the first year, I'm like, all right, you got to do this. My leadership council came up and said, Coach, when are we going to start the community service? They wanted to, it wasn't that I had, they wanted to do it. You know, I'll send out a text message, hey, this needs to be done, need this many guys. And I don't usually have to ask twice. They're just jumping into it. But, you know, it may be we need to build a ramp on a house for a wheelchair. It could be whatever. This person can't cut their grass. They're not, you know, they're not physically able to do it anymore. It's got to get done. You know, it could be anything. The school asking, churches asking, anybody in the community. But to me, community is huge. Again, I've been around for so long. I've seen the community come together, and I've seen the community fussing at each other. Mm-hmm. We get a lot more accomplished, when we work together. So we try to do as much as we possibly can do. You know, there's been times, you know, like this year, so many, they know we're doing it, so many people reach out, and you don't want to, but there's times where you got, we're full. You know, I'm trying to be at every single event. I mean, it's my deal, so, you know, I don't want coaches to have to do with it and give up time with their families and stuff like that, and but, I mean, community is huge. It's just keeping the community involved, keeping them excited, you know, and big things can happen around here.
Man, sounds like a family.
You fuss, definitely does.
And then you also get together and make something happen. That's a family.
Well, and you know, it goes back when Coach came out of the field house a while ago. You can just tell Coach when he walks in a room, he's going to change the room. He's going to change the mood of that room. You just bring that power to everything that you're doing, and definitely can tell you're doing the right thing here 100%, and the impact that you're making. I want to go on with that community question a little bit. Coach, if you had a family that, let's say they're relocating to North Alabama, the Huntsville area, wanted to go around and check some schools out, and they came to you and said, you know, hey, we got a son that plays football, what would be some of the things that you would tell them about Sparkman and the community here, why they should come here?
Awesome community. People are going to, you know, you need help, people are going to jump in to help you. Next thing I'm going to tell them, all football aside, how are their grades? How are their discipline? Are you, you know, we talk to guys all the time. How are they in the hallways? How are they in math class? Because we have expectations. They ain't rules. They're not mine. They're the leadership council of the football. Well, you know, I have people all the time wanting to, you know, come here. And we had a couple people that transferred, you know, in, younger guys. And I met with parents on Saturday, and, you know, once they were enrolled, and, you know, the talk wasn't about football. The talk was about how are they as a person? How are they as a student? Because student comes before the athlete, you know, and you got to hit these expectations. And then we get into the football part, and we get into the, you know, because I, you know, on the 22nd, Spain Park's coming here. I want that place full. I want it loud, you know, and, you know, that – You want to go to Hillcrest the next week, and people traveling, and you want to become those, you know, schools that I've went to, and you know, at like Piedmont, man, when they were went, yeah, oh my gosh, we'd go down to Piedmont and watch, you know, one of our defensive coordinator back then, Coach Bobbitt, his son played for him, so those 3 years, you know, when we were knocked out, I'd go to Piedmont with him and watch, and oh my god, it was a phenomenal, just seeing the, you know. Seeing them, you going down to watch the Hoovers and the Thompsons and things like that, and you watch and you see how that community embraces those teams. Of course, you want the same thing. So, but anybody that would be coming in here, football would probably be the eighth thing that we talk about. It would become more of, you know, what kind of person they are, and things like that, because that's what's going to matter when they graduate in 4 years. that's what's going to matter, you know, when they have to make a decision. Do I go into the military? Am I going into college? Am I, you know, somebody comes up to them and says, hey, we're going to have a kid and we're getting married and all these great things. You know, X's and O's teach them so much. It's the family part of the sport and the brotherhood part of the sport. You know, that's what I'm pushing more than anything. So it's I love having great athletes, and I mean, we got a ton of talent and athletic kids here and stuff like that. But you can ask them, you know, when we sit down and we have conversations, it's not always football. Maybe it's how's your mama and them?
How's your mama?
How's this? You got everything that you need at home? Do you have, you know, hey, your grade slipped a little bit, you missed a practice. What's going on outside of the football field and things like that? So, and then some of these guys, I mean, they need somebody to care for, you know. Some of them don't have many people. You've got to, you know, you learn that through relationships. And I don't know how many times last week we're in service, teacher in service, and it was always like, well, how did y'all do your class? I think every time I answered a question, it's all about relationships. Everything's about relationships. So because if you don't know a kid, you can't touch the kid. You can't, you know, you can't help change them and get them what they need to be successful. So you're not going to be able to do that 100% of the time, but I'm going to die trying.
That's right. I love the smile after he says that. Coach, you mentioned the 22nd. Spain Park's headed this way. Let's fast forward. It's 6:58 p.m., August 22nd. Your coach has just handed you your headset. What's going through Coach Watson's mind? What's that like?
When Coach Livingston gives me the headset, he gives it to me every Friday night, is how blessed I am. I'm going to go in the medical tent and pray as soon as I get it, and them lights are going to start flickering, that band's going to hit, and just how truly blessed I am to get to do. I mean, everybody don't get to do what they want to do and what they were put here to do. I really believe that I am. And to see those guys run out with the cheerleaders and stuff like that, it goes back to that community, and it goes back to, you know, most people have no idea what a coach, a coaching staff, a support staff, everything does to just make that to 7 o'clock. And for that stuff to happen, and from the cheerleaders and having great administration, and getting backed by that administration, and the band, oh my God, our band, you know, phenomenal, you know, phenomenal leadership, from the dance teams to the, I mean, I'm going to forget somebody, but you know, and then the parents that are there to you know, do the chains, to the parents that are giving the referee snacks in between quarters. And I mean, there's just so much that goes into it. But you know, I mean, when I get it, honestly, I take a second to take it in. And I mean, to count my blessings, and hope it ain't the last one. So, you know, you want to stay positive about it, and then to hear, you know, I'm going to walk out, I'm going to find my wife and my daddy in the stands, and my daughter, my oldest daughter, she comes to all the games, and I'm going to find them in the stands and give them that wave, and you know, we're going to go and play some football.
Yes, sir. It's almost time too, buddy. It is almost time.
Man, I can tell anybody listening, if you ever wanted to know the definition of the Coaches and Community Tour and what First and Sold is all about, all you had to do is listen to what Coach just said about a Friday night at 6:58 p.m. And I can tell you, in the society we live in nowadays, that's something right there that ChatGPT can never create. That's real.
That's real.
100%.
Yes. Whew. A lot of people, you nailed it, Coach. A lot of people really don't know how early the concession stand parents came, how early. I mean, there's a lot, and not just that day, the week prior, getting this ready, packing these bags, packing. I mean, it is a lot of people that come together to make 7 o'clock once a week for 3 hours so special. And it is just, it's intriguing. It means a lot to me to see the different communities do that.
Coach, you know, and we were talking off the air, and you and I have some very similar routes in our past. I worked in the oil and gas industry for many, many years and went back later in life and finished my teaching degree and coached at the junior high level and the varsity level and did all these things before I got into real estate. But I want to get your perspective on what I was doing some student teaching several years ago over at one of the feeder schools for Florence High School. And I had one of the football coaches tell me that we were in PE and there was, I mean, hundreds of kids across that gym floor. And he said, look across that gym floor right now. He said, it was a Friday evening. He said, when those kids leave school today, it'll be the last time they'll get something to eat or have any kind of adult interaction till Monday morning when they come back. What do you think about that, Coach? And is there the same disparity here, and is there programs for it?
Oh, yes, yes. We, each school I know in Madison County, they have something called Lunches for Love, which is awesome. I've been working with the Sparkman Ninth Grade School lately, and you know, we lost the sponsor for it at that school, but then, you know, I was approached and we found another sponsor. Community stepping up. Exactly, and it didn't take long. I contacted a couple of people and said, hey, this is what we've got going. I called our chaplain, which was Brother Slay, that's always with us. And, they're already doing it for a couple of schools already with his church. But, it was quick. And the community really, just jumped in. I do a lot of mentoring with new teachers. Like, it's your new year. Got a new mentoree last week. And when we sit down and we talk about teaching, and you know, he's going to be he's a coach for me in the freshman level. And you know, like I told him, I said, you know, he was one of the guys that worked last week at our expo, and I asked him, what did you learn? And he was talking about all the diversities and all the different people and things like that. And I said, yeah. I said, well, just don't forget about that 6% that are homeless, that have no idea where they're going every night to go to sleep. Don't forget about that kid that, looks like they haven't taken a shower in a couple of days. Make sure that you're paying attention to stuff like that, and we can get counselors involved and social workers involved. Because, that's one thing I'll give the county and Sparkman, Sparkman altogether. From social workers to counselors to admin, to teachers. It is a team effort, to make sure everybody's got that. Again, it goes to most people have no idea what a coach and what a group of people have to do to make Friday night happen. And then they don't think about, well, then Monday night has to happen. They don't think about, well, all that stuff's got to get cleaned. All that stuff's got to get retight. A lot of people have no idea what a teacher sees. That person's right. That's one of the biggest things. Everybody's always, hey, yeah, we got Christmas break, we got fall break, we got spring break, we got summer. Honestly, one of the things when I get in my car and I go home that I think about is which one of those kids don't have something that they need. One huge positive through that is when you do find out they don't need it, or don't have it, this community jumps in, whether you're a teacher, you're just somebody that lives down the road that finds out about it. I think it was Facebook last week. I seen a thing. Somebody was asking for a TV for a classroom. They'd run out of, money for a TV and stuff. And it wasn't like 2 hours done. Somebody seen it. It's amazing. To me, it's absolutely amazing. I remember my first 2 years, I had the Army Surplus Store. They actually sponsored my classroom. And so I could change like the themes up depending on in what world history we were doing and stuff like that. And again, it was just going to ask you, I don't know if they do it now, but little things like that. But it's amazing to me how many, when you look at the 6% or whatever it is at other schools and things like that of kids that don't have it. You know, but, you know, I know the county, both of these schools, they've had closets now where if you don't have clothes and stuff and they find out, I mean, not just a dress code, they actually have a real closet with, you know, really nice clothes and stuff in it. And there's a, you know, there's a place that started that program. And, you know, if you need a prom dress, stuff like that, tuxedos for prom, whatever it is you need for prom. That's one great thing about this community. I mean, everybody, they just got to know. Usually it's just the knowledge of needing to know, but being a teacher, being a coach, because some of them may be on your team. You know, hey, I need a ride home. Okay. You know, you get them a ride home. I guess, you know, here the last few weeks, we can't Uber them home, you know, because you get in trouble for that. But, you know, it's knowing. I mean, when you take that kid home, you're thinking, do you have anything to eat?
Yeah.
Do you have, you know, are you going to have, you know, I talk to kids all the time, you know, how you eat, you got to take care of your body. Water's not enough. You got to have those electrolytes. You've got to be able to replenish everything in your body. That's why, you know, here, halftime, we're wanting to give bananas. We're wanting to give Gatorade. We're wanting to get, every kid doesn't get that. You know, so, you know, off-season protein, you want to be able to get protein in it. Not everybody's family can afford to get them protein. So you're not getting, the kid's not actually getting everything they need, every tool they need to be successful. So it's trying to find ways to be able to do that. But, yeah, that's one of the impactful things about being a teacher and a coach is looking and going, yeah, that, you know, somebody in here is not getting everything that they need. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're all these kids are talking about playing video games and all this, that, and other, and that kid's just, you know, video games, that kid wants to know where they're going to put their head down at night.
Wow. I can say one thing to feed off of that. You know, if there is somebody out there, what Coach just said, and it's not just in this community, it's across America. If there's somebody out there that needs something, if they're hungry, they need anything, Bo Goss and Tracy Black, reach out to us.
That's right.
Anytime. I guarantee you're not going to go to bed hungry.
That's right. I'm glad you said that, Tracy. Really am. Man, Coach, I'm going to steal this question from Tracy. Let's say you have a young individual on your team or maybe in your classroom who comes to you and says, Coach, I want to be a coach one day. What type of advice would you give them?
First thing I'm going to tell them is, no, you don't.
I love the honesty.
No, I'm going to say, okay, you know, you come to me, you want to, I've had it. I mean, honestly, 70, 75% of my defensive staff is alumni that's come into coaching and they've wanted to. And I mean, that's been a true blessing to us because you already know the system.
Alumni from Spartman.
From Spartman that played for me one way or another on defense.
That's cool.
Which is absolutely awesome. You know, offensively as well. I mean, offense, you know, I always go back to like Zach Cangelosi. He wrestled for me when I was the head wrestling coach. And oh my gosh, probably one of the most hardworking individuals I've ever met in my life. But, you know, he comes and does, you know, he does O-line for us. And, you know, he graduated from Jacksonville State. He was their center. And I remember him sending me, you know, text messages that year they played Florida State. And, hey, Coach, I'm about to go play with the big boys. You know, I was at his wedding, you know, and things like that. Again, honored to be able to do those things. And, you know, I remember, you know, him and his wife just had their first kid. And I think the kid's already like 5 foot, it feels like. I mean, he showed me a picture. He sent me a picture. He texted me a picture. And, I mean, they, you know, this would have been the last few months. And I swear that kid would look like he was big enough to walk already. But, yeah, I mean, just to have, you know, these guys and, some of them with Coach White, Alante Harvey's been doing receivers with us for forever. And, you know, me and him always tell the story. I love them all like they're my own. But me and Alante didn't get along when he was a student here. It's like, man, you can't do that. You got to do the right things. And, you know, we grew up. He became a grown man. And I mean, again, he's going to be the first guy that comes up and says hi to me. We're going to hug every day. Because they know you're a whole lot more to me than a coach and a student athlete and stuff like that. But you know, I mean, like I would tell any of them, well, come out, let's see what you got. And you can shadow me for a couple of days. I'll let you go through parent meetings and set them with me. I'll let you sit down when we do the schedule together, when we're looking at depth chart, when we're, come on, I'm not hiding anything. I don't care if you're not even a member of the staff, come to Sunday's meetings. You know, when we're getting ready for, you know, when we're getting ready for whomever it is we're playing that next week. But then get ready, because I'm going to text you every time I think of something on Saturday when you're trying to, you know, watch college football. And I'm going to text you, and I'm going to see, this is what it's all about. You got to work.
Hey, did you see where that left guard did it?
That's it. But no, if you really want to get into it, if you're going to do it the right way. Wins and losses are great. But to teach those young men that the wins and losses you're going to get when you graduate are so much bigger. So much bigger.
Amen.
I remember, again, you know, I always talk about wrestling in my wrestling years. And, you know, I never wrestled a match in my life. But a guy named Joe DeSaro that was at Grissom High School was there forever. I mean, forever. And I mean, he took me under his wing when, you know, I felt like he did and he didn't have to. And he even told me before he became a wrestling coach, he didn't wrestle. He won all those state championships and his kids did. And you know, we ended up winning one in female wrestling. And, you know, I'll never forget it. You know, I thought it was going to be, you know, oh my God, this is great and ever. And he even told me it's going to feel good for about 10 minutes. And then the parents are going to come up and ask you, all right, what's next year? And we didn't even make it to a meal. We all were going to a restaurant to go celebrate after they did it. And we didn't even get the order in. And the parents were like, all right, well, next year, off season, this, guys, they just did this amazing accomplishment. Let them have the accomplishment. Because some of them, that's going to be a big highlight of their life. Mm-hmm. Is that one moment. But as a coach, I remember getting in the car, looking at my wife and saying, what's next? What's the next goal? What's the next goal to hit? And then I was blessed to be able to, you know, move up in football and get this position. And, again, it's blessed. But I'd tell like, do it, but you got to see it. It's not, honestly, about 25% of it is what you do on the football field. 75% of it is what you're doing off the field. If you're wanting to make an impact and you're wanting to do it the right way.
Well, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, Coach, and you've used the word blessed multiple times. A couple of years ago during our Player of the Week event, we gave 56 copies of the book, The Prayer of Jabez, by Bruce Wilkerson. And you know, it talks about it's okay to ask God for blessing. God wants to give you blessings. And the way you use that term and talk about being blessed and being a blessing to others, it's been a privilege to sit down and speak with you today, and I wish you and the Spartan Senators the best of luck this season.
Privileged and blessed. I don't even have the words to say the last, let's see here, 43 minutes has just been awesome. It has been awesome, Coach.
43, boy, we flew through that.
Yeah. But, Coach, it's been cool sitting in an awesome facility. Congrats on your facilities, man. It's amazing. Seeing all the stuff on the walls and the sayings, aggressive and excellence and respect and everything that you see. I know you're busy. School is back in. You took the time to come out of class to come sit with Tracy and I and to let the listeners listen to who Coach Ronnie Watson is. It means a lot. Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
And I know he will, when Blake Battle wins one of the Player of the Week, I'm coming over with you to present that one.
Well, guys, that is Coach Ronnie Watson with the Sparkman Senators. You're listening to the First and Soul podcast, and we'll see you next time. My time.